Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined always by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, how are you doing this wonderful Friday?
Well, I'm doing great, Joe. If you live around the Midwestern part of the country, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, that area which we are broadcasting out of, you're anticipating a lot of rain coming into the area. And for Friday night lights or Friday night flights or Friday night highlights or whatever you want to call Football Friday, that can make it a little tough. You know, lightning, thunder, you went through that with the Southridge-Jasper game a couple weeks ago, I guess, and it looks like it could be back on the radar screen come football time tonight, Friday night.
Yeah, it could be a lot of complications, but, you know, we Jasper folk and the people over at Vincennes, we don't have to worry about this week. We're going to get to play at Lucas Oil Stadium, and I guess they'll spend the money to shut the roof if they have to.
Yeah, and that's going to be exciting. We'll be talking with Jasper Athletic Director Andy Noblet coming up a little bit later in the show. We'll talk about Jasper's trip up to Lucas Oil Stadium to play which would normally be a pretty good game, but Vincennes Lincoln doesn't look to be too strong this year. But I know that that's a pretty as good a rivalry, at least on the football side, that Jasper has. And you know what, Joe? I really like that the people up at Lucas Oil and if the Colts are involved, whoever's involved in putting this all together is allowing high school teams to come in and play on that venue other than just a state championship game. It's really neat. Jasper is not the only school that will be up there, obviously, in Vincennes, but in the last few weeks since the high school football season has started, Lucas Oil Field, the stadium has been used for a number of high school games for teams throughout the state.
Yeah, and I think it's a great experience for the kids. I know probably, I doubt Jasper will have a kid on the sidelines tomorrow in shorts, because I know all of them, the ones that were hurt, were fighting to get back. Everyone wanted to be playing on this field. And, you know, it's a great experience for them, and it's a great experience for all the kids. And, you know, whoever organizes it, it's a nice thing that they do. And it's nice that we get to go up and help represent Southern Indiana. So.
Absolutely. So we'll look forward to talking with Andy Noblet, Jasper Athletic Director and a former outstanding basketball player for me when I was coaching at Jasper. Joe, let's jump over to something, and you got to feel pretty good. I know that you gave up on Purdue just a couple weeks ago. You threw the quarterback under the bus, but Purdue – and I was able to watch the game almost in its entirety. Purdue played one heck of a game against the Fighting Irish, and it bodes a couple questions. Are the Fighting Irish not really that good, which I think they are? I've said from the beginning I didn't like the rhythm of Tommy Reese at quarterback. The defense could be up and down. Or is Purdue getting better? And I think the answer there is yes, Purdue's getting better. But just an incredible, not incredible, but a pretty neat turnaround for the Boilers, especially after we had our guest, Pete Quinn, on the show. And he talked so positive about Coach Hazel and sticking to his guns. And he's working on foundational principles for that program. And Joe, as a Purdue fan and a very cynical Purdue fan, I might add, you had to feel pretty good about the effort, and even though Purdue didn't get the win, they got as close as you could to a moral victory.
Yeah, it was a great game. From what I gathered from friends that were up there, the atmosphere was unbelievable. You know, a really, really, really big recruiting weekend for football and basketball. And, you know, it's nice for those kids when they're there on official visits to be able to see an atmosphere like that. I mean, you know, if they'd have been there a week earlier for the Indiana State game, they wouldn't have been able to experience, you know, quite what they did there. And the great part is, you know, Purdue has a couple of recruits that that have verbaled to Purdue that all of a sudden Notre Dame has offered. And, you know, it looked like they might stick with Purdue, which would be great. And they were both at the game the other night. They're both excited. I was afraid of a major blowout, and that could hurt those chances because these guys are both top quality, you know, recruits. And, you know, I guess we've got to realize that, you know, Coach Hazel's now in charge up there, and he it all, by all accounts, doing a great job. So, you know.
I think that they really did a good job. I think they showed a mental toughness, Joe, that I think was critical. I know the Indiana State game wasn't a blowout, but they got to win. And you know, sometimes you need to get that win under your belt. You need to feel good about the game. And it's not always the performance. It's getting a win. And getting a win going into that, having such a huge crowd, national television audience, like you said, recruits in the stands. And they just put on a great performance. And Coach Hazel and his staff and the entire team. And I got to tell you, I thought Henry did a great job at the QB spot. It got tough there at the end, but that's what you expect in a game like that. But I thought he really showed that he can play that position. I know he's going to have tough competition next year for sure to stay in there, but he really showed he could play that position.
Yeah, you got to commend him, you know, after two tough weeks. He's getting better every game. And, you know, they utilize a little bit more of what he can do, you know, with his feet. I mean, he's fastest kid on the team. How many teams have the fastest kid on their team at quarterback, you know?
Yeah, you're right. And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to make some adjustments. And I applaud Coach Hazel. You know, you're a pocket passer, you're a pocket passer. But if you can get out with the ball, you got to let them get out. And we'll talk about another team in just a little bit that everybody was raving about 2 weeks ago. And they took their second loss of the season in the NFL level. And we'll talk a little bit about Michael Vick in Philadelphia here in a second. But I do want to touch on IU's victory. I thought they came out with a strong performance. You know, putting points on the board, the defense came up, played much better, much stronger, and gave IU fans a little bit more hope again. And I know, Joe, you were up at that game.
Yeah, and I got to ask you a question about that game because I saw it live, okay? The weirdest play was the punt that was returned for a touchdown. Did he block it or did he snatch it out of the air? Do you know which play I'm talking about, the Bowling Green?
I don't know, Joe. I got to tell you, I heard about it. I didn't see that play, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And if any listener out there saw it a little bit more clear and wants to let us know, so you think he might have snatched it out of the air?
It sure looked like it. I mean, it was weird. It was one of the most bizarre plays I've ever seen on a punt return like that. I guarantee it's the most bizarre touchdown I've ever seen off a punt return. I don't know if it was blocked or if it just snatched out of the air, and it was odd. But you know, IU had some problems inside the 5 yard line in the first half, but in the second half they came out and put it on them, and you know, they looked really good doing it. And you know, this week, you know, Missouri was thought to have been down this year, and they're playing some good football. So you know, this weekend should tell a lot about how their season's going to go if they beat Missouri. I mean, you know, I'd say they've got a good chance of playing into the full season, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and Joe, you make a good point. Missouri's coming in a little bit better than what some people thought, better than what I thought they would be at the beginning, and I think that's good for IU. I think coming off this a game in which Bowling Green was highly touted by a lot of people, it even received some votes in the polls, I think it's great for IU to come back now again with Missouri and keep that momentum going as far as playing good competition and having to be ready mentally and physically once again as you get ready for that Big Ten season. And talking about the Big Ten season, I mean, Purdue doesn't get any break after Notre Dame. They got to go to Wisconsin. Wisconsin coming off the biggest screw job, the biggest fiasco, the biggest referee official disappointment I've ever seen on the football field. It was a travesty to sports. It was travesty to big time college football. And if this, and it obviously will, if this hurts Wisconsin's chances at a major bowl, boo on those conference officials. Shame on the NCAA, the Big Ten, all of the people involved in how these games get scheduled and who's officiating it. But just real quickly, Joe, your thoughts on Wisconsin and Purdue going into Madison.
Well, this will be a big game for Purdue because Purdue over the last 2, 3, 4 years have played a really, really good game, either winning or losing the game before Wisconsin. But even when they lost the game, you know, were in the games, and then people had high hopes, and then they played Wisconsin and just gotten blown out of the place. So I think that's what a lot of people are looking at this week. You know, how are they going to continue the trend, you know, like they started last week, the positiveness, or are they going to take a step back, you know? And I think some people forget that, you know, Coach Hope's gone, you know, great guy, not so great coach, and I think Hazel's more of an organizer, and I don't know if he'll let them get down. I hope that they come out and at least compete tomorrow, and you know, if they do, that'll have a lot to say about the way the program's going. You know, when he was at Kent State, they said he was 1-5 the first season there as he was learning, as the kids were learning his new system, and then won out after that, ended up winning their last 6. So we'll see. I mean, they're making baby steps towards playing better football. And, you know, the defense looked a heck of a lot better than it did against Cincinnati. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I agree with you, but the Big Ten is not the MAC. So we'll see what happens. But your point is well taken. If you can go on the road after the Notre Dame game, carry that momentum with you, go into Madison and play a competitive game, even if you don't win, play a competitive game against Wisconsin, who's going to be fired up. I would assume that Wisconsin being the program they are, you know, sometimes when you have a tough loss like that, it can cause you to go the other way, especially when it takes the air out of you. I mean, that was a game that Wisconsin did everything right. They got themselves in a position to kick a game-winning field goal, which you want to do. That's what you're supposed to do, put yourself in a position to win. And as I've said before on this show, as I said before as a fan, as I said before as a coach, probably more often than I should have to a few of the officials, the officials should be seen and not heard. In other words, they should not be the thing that people remember in the game. And for Wisconsin to lose that, I don't know if he'd have made the field goal. Percentages say he would have. But for Wisconsin to lose that game because those officials did not do their job, and the fact that they were the other conference officials makes it even worse, and that disappoints me. But, yeah, Coach K gets a little upset about that because as a former coach, and who knows, maybe coaching again someday, I think the official has to be seen but not heard. In other words, he cannot be the thing that the fans are talking about, the coaches and the teams are talking about. You know, officials have a tough job. It's a tough, tough job. And it's so important that they are mentally ready for the games they're going in to officiate. They're physically ready. And as a team, as a group, because these guys work as teams, they're on the same page all the time, communicating, knowing, in position. It's a tough position, and I know even on high school level, grade school level, it's a tough job because everybody thinks they know more than the officials, and usually We don't. Once in a while, the coaches do. I thought I knew more most of the time. But I really was disappointed in that game. And then you stay in the Big Ten. You stay in the Big Ten. And obviously, if you've been following any of the sports news this week, Bo Pelini, Nebraska football coach, some coward, and that's what I call him, folks, a coward. You know, you've got to understand, in life, coaches, teachers, bosses, fans, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, everybody vents. And behind closed doors, they vent. And we say things just to get it off our chest. I'll bet you every coach in America has railed on their fans once in a while. At one time or another, well, you know what? I'm the coach. They're not. You know, they're fickle. And fans are fickle. I'm a fan. Joe's a fan, and Joe's as fickle as you can get. And the coward that released that tape because he has an axe to grind or he wants to create controversy for Bo Pelini, 2 years old, listen, folks, that thing needs to be forgotten, and I know I'm talking about it. I hope at the end of the week nobody else talks about it. That was a cowardly move by somebody. It's ridiculous. We're all guilty of it, not just as coaches, but in life in general. There are moms and dads that have closed the door and talked about their sons or daughters. I mean, it's just the way you vent. You get it off your chest. But in the end, Bo Pelini's a Nebraska guy. Bo Pelini knows how important the fans are. But Bo Pelini is a coach who wants to win football games and has given everything he's got every second of the day to do it. He's expecting his assistant coaches and his players to do the same. But you know what? That was a cowardly act. Shouldn't have even got any front page news. I shouldn't have even given it the last 3 minutes on the Coach K and Joe show. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Jasper Athletic Director Andy Novlett. We're going to be talking about the new gym dedication, the Cats going up to Vincennes, and anything else going on in the life of Andy Novlett as an athletic director. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Son Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Stupid to do what your coach tells you? No.
No what?
Yeah! I didn't mean to hurt you. Coach told me to pretend.
Bobby, can you do this for me? Every single game, can you do this?
Coach, not only will I do it for you,
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe show. And, Coach, we are joined by probably the hardest working man in the Jasper school system. Actually, last night I saw him at a 7th grade football game on the chain gang. So he does it all. We've got Andy Noblet. Andy, are you there? Hello.
Yes, Joe, I'm here.
Hey, Andy Noblet, Coach K.
Hey, how are you doing,
Coach?
You
just said you're the hardest working man at Jasper High School. I'm not going to go that far because I know other people there and I don't want them to get mad. You're as hard a working man at Jasper High School as anybody.
Well, thank you. I really enjoy what I'm doing and getting to see all the kids playing all the different sports and now having a son in 7th grade. Yes, I did do the chains last night. I helped out a little bit, but I also had a tennis match going on. Also, I had a soccer game and a volleyball game all running at the same time. So it was a great night.
So you're doing the chain gang, and, you know, I'm thinking of all the different reasons why Andy Noblet might be doing the chain gang. One, he's trying to save money for the Jasper Middle School. Two, he's trying to help them out by saying to the officials, hey, you do a good job for our team tonight, and I might hire you for a varsity or reserve game.
Yeah, and the best part was I was actually helping other schools. They're looking for officials crew for a JV football game on Saturday that they couldn't get officials, so I thought maybe these middle school officials would be interested, and they considered, made some phone calls at halftime, and but turned it down. So it all comes full circle by the time you're done with an evening.
Yeah, you are the man with the plan, and it's great to have you on the show. And we've got several things we want to talk about. I want to remind our listeners that Andy has always been a hardworking guy, one of the hardest working players that played for me, and just a good leader on the team, and also an outstanding baseball pitcher for the Wildcats, and then on to the University of Evansville. Andy, big weekend coming up. I think it's great that around the state teams are getting the opportunity to come in and play at Lucas Oil Stadium. It doesn't have to be in a state championship game. They're getting a chance to be a part of this venue. Teams that, who knows, you know, they may not ever get a chance to get there while the kids are going through school at that time. I think it's a great opportunity, a lot of fun, and Jasper's taking part of that in playing Vincent's Lincoln up at Lucas Oil this weekend.
Yeah, we are very excited to go on up to Lucas Oil. Our kids are going to be mesmerized by the size of the just the understructure of that facility is amazing, and they'll warm up in a meeting room that is about the size of our entire athletic facilities before they even come onto the field. So they're going to have their eyes wide open, and we're going to get them fired up down in there and come out ready to play tomorrow in Indianapolis.
And I know Coach Ahrens will have those guys ready, and Jasper, just from my own experience of playing there and coaching there, relishes these opportunities to be on the big stage. I truly do believe that, and then that's what makes kids and makes teams and makes programs successful, because they relish those opportunities. But as athletic director, Andy, can you just give our listeners a little bit of an idea of how Jasper got connected in this and some of the things that you have to do behind the scenes in order to make this happen?
Yeah, Coach. Vincennes was actually approached to possibly host a game with us. I believe we were included because of our great fan base, and obviously they know that Jasper will bring a big crowd. So we were included as part of Vincennes' home game. Kind of the logistics there, Vincennes has to give up their home game, and they are guaranteed an amount of money for them to play, and then we are able to collect a little bit of extra money for our travels up there by selling tickets here in the athletic office and also through our Jasper Youth Football League, which was really nice because we had access to a lot of kids, and whenever you try to take on a challenge this big, it's going to cost a little bit of money, but you also want to make sure that you're getting everything that you want out of it. So we're actually going to be able to put our youth kids out on the field before the game starts and have them form a tunnel and get down on the Lucas Oil field and see our football players come out of that tunnel like they would the Indianapolis Colts. And it's going to be a really, really cool situation. On my end, this morning, I'm dealing with field passes, media passes, and all-access passes for our coaches, our band, our cheerleaders, our dance team, trying to make sure everybody can get to where they need to put on a proper event, and trying to make sure that we don't miss anybody in that process. We're also still selling tickets and trying to comb through those checks and money to be able to write a check to make sure that that we take care of the people that are hosting this big rivals night. I'd also like to thank a couple of people that have actually become sponsors for this game, Ubilor, Toyota, Chevy, and German American Bank have gone on to with Big Rivals Night, and you'll see a lot of their signage throughout the building as the game plays tomorrow. So a big thank you from local sponsors. Both are obviously in Vincennes and Jasper, so it just makes a nice connection with the community and taking our game up to the big stage.
Yeah, and I think that you make a couple of great points there. It's not just about a football team getting on a bus and going up to play a game. It's really, I like how they're trying to get all the fans involved, and the community can get involved through supporting their team. You talked about your major sponsors, but I like the fact that these young kids can get on that field, a field they see on TV. Some are able to go up and watch the Colts play. Some might go up to watch their team when they're in the state finals. But, you know, a lot of times when you go into these professional stadiums, our major college stadiums, you got your seat and you got your outside area, but you never get a chance to get down there on the field. I think it's a great connection point for the young people going forward as a fan, a player, a contributor to just sports in general and programs in general throughout the state.
I agree with you, Coach. Anytime we can connect our student athletes or even our young elementary school students with a dream, and sometimes it just takes that little bit of emphasis of being either on the floor or on a football field or possibly, you know, on a soccer field. Just giving them that opportunity creates interest for them and spurs them to do a little more than other kids will do, and leads them on the path of success. Those of us that have been around athletics, especially with parents that have been around athletics, we get those opportunities, and trying to provide those opportunities not just for our own kids but for other kids that may not have that opportunity definitely is something that we're looking to do. And again, it's hard to win with one player. You're trying to get a team together, especially in our major sports that require either 5, 7, 11 people, whatever it takes to get the job done, and you want as many of those kids that are interested and willing to put in the time to improve.
Yeah, I think that's really important going on for high school sports in general. We see it on the college level. You know, not everybody gets to be on the IU basketball team or the Notre Dame football team, but there's a connection between the university, the fan, and the sport. And I think for me, during the time I coached, and I'm hoping that it's still in many schools, and it should be. It can be promoted, and it can be built, and it can be fostered. You know, you get 350 kids in your youth basketball camp, and you got basketball T-shirts on them, and you're getting them into the games, and then you're picking a few to sit on the bench at a game. And you know that at some point you're only going to have 4 or 5 kids from each class as they get into junior and senior, but you hope you've created a connection that they come back and they're a part of the team in the stands, doing fun things, giving them some identity in the process. So I think all of that's important. I love that you got the youth kids involved in this Lucas Oil Rivals game, and they're going to have a chance to participate. Also going on for you, Andy, and next to Fred Glass, you're probably the best AD in the state, in my opinion. But next going on is you guys have a big event with the new gym. I don't even call it a gym. It's an arena. And you may be mad at me, but I snuck in one day with the other coach, Schulteis, before you guys had control of it. I snuck in, and I found a ball, and I shot around. And I want to say this on the air again. I have to be the first guy to have hit a three-point shot at every goal on the main floor because they were all down. But this is not just a gym. This is a beautiful arena.
thank you. Many people that have been able to get in there at least before tonight and actually gotten to walk the floor have seen a lot of changes within the gym, that a lot of people on the outside were willing to give us information on how to make things better. And even one thing that you alluded to there, just having three-point lines that you can see on our side baskets to encourage kids to, if they don't get it, to have a main basket, that if they have a side basket, they can still work on their game and continue to pump three-pointers. We never had that before. I thought it was a pretty big step for us to try to make what we had before the gym fell better, and just little things like that and that we've put in there. We've tried to space them some things out because we had some space issues with the old gym, and trying to make things more friendly, not only for our players, but then again with our lower bowl, having 2,400 seats right near the floor to encourage fans to get rowdy and get closer to the action where they can definitely change the game with their activity and their cheers and things like that. And I'm literally looking forward to it. Tonight is our open house, and what we're going to do is we're going to meet at 6:30 tonight on the west side of the gym. That would be the St. Charles entrance. That's a little different for people, but it still should be an easy access to them, and they can come in and explore throughout the building. We're going to have doors open so people can see things. Maybe the coach, you saw some locker rooms and being able to see where our concession stands are located, maybe even be able to get down into some of our storage areas just to have an idea and kind of get familiar with the surroundings. And then with that, as people start going up those bleachers and start looking for their seat that they would like to have for a while, we'd like to offer them the chance to pencil in their season ticket requests and be able to kind of get an idea of where people are wanting to sit. We will have some changes. One thing that we identified was that our people were often confused between a boys' and a girls' game of where they should sit. So we have actually moved the Jasper bench to the north end of the gym, which would be kind of different for our boys' team to sit on the north side. But we really found that to be advantageous at the Cabby O'Neill gym, since our locker rooms were located, our main doors were located at the Cabby gym on the south end. We decided to try to do that in our new gym. So our boys and girls basketball teams will be on the north end of the scorers table, and that gets them as close to their locker room as possible. And we've also put the visitors' locker room on the south end, so our teams are going in different directions.
I think it's a wonderful place, a beautiful place, and as I said, the senior Coach Schulteis, my father and I both got in there, toured the whole facility. We were fortunate enough to run into a former wrestling coach, outstanding teacher and coach, Rick Stefnagel, and he kind of walked around with us. And there were some wonderful appointments and amenities to it. And like I said, I call it an arena. It's not a gym. And people have to understand, you know, you can go in there, and I encourage people to get in there and see that. Don't look for flaws. Look at the beauty, at the wonder of it, what a great facility it is for the community. I mean, you're talking about when I went back to Jasper to coach the basketball team, Andy, you may not realize it, but I took an old closet, turned it into my basketball office just so the coaches had their own office in the basketball gym. And we cleaned it out. We bought our own carpeting. We laid it. We did the very best we could to create the idea, the thought that this is Jasper basketball. And I think your arena, and I know volleyball's in it now with Coach Milligan and other sports will share it, obviously Coach Ernie and the girls. But it's important for them to feel like they've got some ownership and some identity in that arena, and I think you've done that just as well as it could be done.
Well, thank you, Coach. Just kind of happened this week. We actually had some memorabilia brought to us. We had an autographed 1993 boys basketball autographed ball with Coach Schulteis right on the front of that basketball. I was thoroughly impressed. I think I've had to put it into a protected area because I believe Scott Rowland's name is on there too. So with those two guys on there, that piece of memorabilia definitely needs to find its way in that gymnasium.
Yeah, and I know at some point I've got a stockpile of things back to the 50s, 60s, 70s that I saw getting thrown out when I was at. That's before people realized the value of what they were getting rid of. So I tried to hold on to that, and I'll eventually get that in your hands as you have a place for it. But, Andy, it's a tough job being an athletic director. It's a tough job at any school, from finances to the number of coaches and sports you deal with, to fans, to players now. There's such a feeling, and please, I'm not specifically saying this to Jasper, there's such a feeling of entitlement among parents and student-athletes today. They don't understand that it is really an honor to play for their teams, and not a right, not something that they should get automatically. And I know that all of those things together, they have to be constructed in a way and weaved together in order to make work. And I think at this point in your young career as athletic director, you're doing a pretty good job of that.
Well, thank you. It is quite a challenge to balance all those things, but I can tell you the coaches that we have on staff at Jasper High School, and also the fans, you know, our parents and our student athletes, still have that connection to our school, and because they have that, there is it makes things in the athletic office much easier when you have people on board, seeing the big picture of academics before athletics, and making sure that we keep things in proper perspective as we go through our 4 years at Jasper High School. And a lot of them are looking forward to the spoils for having done all the hard work that they do at Jasper, both athletically and academically.
Well, and I think that corporation has got everything going in the right direction. They got a great person at the helm of athletic director. Andy, you know I love Jasper, and you know I love basketball, and when you put those two together, that's awesome. And I love that the arena is ready to open up. Good luck with the dedication, and good luck up in Indianapolis with the Rivals game.
Well, thank you very much, Coach. We appreciate the keeping the athletic part of your show on the high school level, and it's really neat to hear you guys discuss that weekly. And if I can ever be of help, you just let me know.
We'll always call on you, Andy. Thanks for being with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Chris Goodman. We're going to be talking SIAC football. What did we learn from last week? What's going on this week? You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles. Cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home?
Mm-hmm.
Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams. Natural-looking fillings. Crowns. Bridges and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care. Creating beautiful smiles.
Central Kentucky's now down to their third-string quarterback. Good news, folks. First-string quarterback Tommy Gardner does not have a broken neck.
Blue 52!
Hush! I forbid you to talk to that enchantress. She's the devil!
She's not the devil. She's the most beautiful woman in the world.
I never said she was the devil!
She's the most beautiful woman in the world!
Oh, please don't hurt me!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is Coach K, Ken Schulteis. And Bobby Boucher has nothing, and I mean nothing, on our next. Chris Goodman, you could Bobby Boucher it all over the place. I can guarantee you that.
I'm so sad I watched that movie. I know the reference right off the bat.
I love that movie. I was telling Joe before the show that I was watching Happy Gilmore last night. It was on, and I forgot just some of the great lines in that show and how funny Adam Sandler, when he's got the right stuff together, he's pretty funny. So,
yeah,
Chris,
Billy
good to
Madison.
Have you back. And I'll tell you what, I'd like to kind of start out this week, instead of talking about the SIAC games coming up, I'd like to start a little bit about what we learned from last week's games, because you and I talked extensively about a couple of the teams, and the first one I'd like to bring up is we talked about Bossy. And is this Bossy offense for real? Is it just offense? Is there more to this team? And they take on Castle. And, I mean, if you're talking about the SIAC world, it was kind of a stunner to the SIAC world with a big Bossy win.
Yeah, I don't know if you can pull out the tape of where I was saying I thought Castle might wear him down in the second half. But obviously I underestimated Bossy as well as probably Castle did. You know, I mean, I think that offense, they proved they've got a lot of heart. Andre Thomas is a former player, and he played for Harrison and played quarterback and went on to play college, I believe, at least for a short term. He went to Toledo or one of those schools like that and played quarterback there. So obviously he's got his kids playing at a higher level than probably we anticipated. But what does it say about Castle? Castle's kind of been up and down, so it shows a lot of parity in the SIAC, and I think it's hard to tell at this point. You know, Castle lost to Terre Haute North early in the season, and you look at scores from the SIAC teams that have played the schools from up north or different places, and it's really hard to tell if the SIAC is down or if there's just a ton of parity.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, Chris. There was an article in the local paper, I guess we can say Evansville Courier, I think it was Etheridge. He used the term parity in the SIAC. I question that. In fact, I sent him a text message, not critical text message, or email, saying love the article, but I don't know if parity is the word in high school sports, because you can't recruit, or at least you're not supposed to. I wondered if mediocrity, and I hope people don't take it the wrong way, but if maybe the level of play in the overall SIAC is down a little bit this year. You know, Castle goes in and shuts out Wrights, and then Bossy's speed and quickness just eat them up, and they basically outscore the Knights. So, you know, there's parity. You can look at that. Is it mediocrity? You make a good point by bringing that all together. And that brings us to another game. And I thought you were really spot on this game, Chris, and I'll give you credit. I won't even try to take any. Central and Wright. I question Central's defense. I know they could score, but I question their defense. But you talked about Wright, and you said this might be a game that Coach Hape could maybe do some things offensively that he could explore and exploit, and obviously Wrights did.
Yeah, and they put up a lot of points, and their defense played well. They had four turnovers. They went a lot to the running game. Dwayne Esters had a huge game for them, and I think had four touchdowns in the first half, and I think they got a chance to work on their, perhaps the running game, something that didn't really, it kind of eluded them when they played at Castle and were shut out by the Knights. So I think it was a chance for Wrights to get some points on the board against a pretty good Central team, but the Bears obviously are putting up some points, but their defense isn't doing a whole lot to this point in the season, and maybe that's part of that fast-paced offense that they run and trying to, you know, do the shootout West Coast offense type, you know, when they're trying to score a lot of points. But, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, and you talked about the parity. You may be right on with that. I think a lot of these teams are just kind of even as far as it goes in the SIAC. We're used to seeing the Castles and the Rices and the Modern Days of the world have great years, and then there's maybe one or two other teams that are good every year, but this isn't the case this year. It seems like everybody's kind of beaten everybody, and really, with the exception of maybe Harrison, I don't think anybody's completely down in terms of the SIAC level. Now, what that means at a higher level when it comes to state caliber and once we get to there, it remains to be seen. You know, I saw South Spencer last week, and I have to think, you know, after seeing them and hearing about how good South Ridge is playing, that Modern Day is going to have a tough time playing those teams if the SIAC caliber is down and not just even.
Yeah, and speaking of Modern Day, they went into a tough rival game, two Catholic schools in Evansville. Obviously, Memorial at 1-3 is still struggling a little bit. They're playing good teams, though. Modern Day, who looks to be the class of the conference, even though they're one of the smallest schools, had to overcome a lot of turnovers. And so you look at that game and you say, well, Memorial was right there. But uncharacteristically, Modern Day had some turnovers that kind of, you know, gave Memorial life throughout that game. And it ended up at least giving them a chance to make it a close game on paper.
Yeah, and you think Coach Gable's probably going to fix that turnover problem, because usually at the end of the season, Modern Day's playing their best football. I don't think they're going to have any problem scoring points against some of the 2A teams, because in whether, you know, South Spencer or South Ridge, whoever they run into, I mean, I think their offense kind of speaks for itself. Chase Haynes, a good quarterback. Nolan Gable scored 3 touchdowns last week. It's a team that's loaded with offensive weapons. The big concern I probably have for Modern Day is how good is their defense going to be against those teams once they get to that level?
I think that's a question for a lot of these teams in the SIAC right now is what about these defenses? And when I use the term mediocrity, I want people to understand that I am in no way questioning the coaches' abilities and their staff. Sometimes you got to, on a high school level, you got to play and prepare with the players that you get, with what you have. And sometimes as a coach, I know from my own experience, some classes are a little bit better talent-wise than others. Some are tougher than others, and some pay more attention than others. So we'll see how that season goes. But if you're a fan, Chris, I think it makes for good football for fans to come out and watch these games, because there's going to be a competitive edge that maybe any team can win on that given night. We always like to use that cliche of any team can win on a given night. In football, sometimes that's a far-fetched thing. But this year in the SIAC, that might be right on, and so you got to feel like people need to get out and watch these games. And speaking of games coming up this Friday, let's start out the first, before we get to any particular game, weather. And you have been out all kinds of games throughout your career, watching games, taping games, talking to coaches, analyzing, color commentary, play-by-play. How can the weather, they're talking about a lot of rain, obviously thunder and lightning is going to cause games to be delayed and stopped. What are we looking for? How's this weather going to affect this weekend?
Yeah, you know, first off, I think it's going to hurt the gate a little. I think some fans are probably not going to go that would normally go, and I hate to see that happen. And I know athletic directors, you know, that depend on, you know, the high school sports to make some money, and I think that's obviously some folks are going to stay home. Hopefully the weather's going to clear out, but, you know, about this time last year we were doing the Owensboro Catholic South Spencer game down at South Spencer, and we had lightning, and as soon as they have lightning, you got at least a 30, 45-minute delay before anybody can even come back on the field once they see that one strike. And, you know, during that 30 or 45 minutes, if they see another strike, you got to wait another 30 or 45 minutes. So there's a ton of delays. I think the diehard fans are going to be there. The people that have kids that are playing are obviously going to be there. And as far as the SIAC is concerned, not going to be as huge of a factor now because they're all playing on turf. Now, some of these outlying schools, I'm doing a game tonight, Princeton to Gibson Southern. You look at a field that if it takes so much water, no matter how much, you know, conditioning and whatever the groundskeepers do with that facility, and you're talking about a high school level staff, not a, you know, a Major League Baseball staff that goes out and does that every week, but no matter how much they do, these games are going to be very muddy on the fields that don't have the artificial turf and things that rebound very quickly.
Okay, before we go ahead and talk about a couple of these games of note, Joe has a question that was texted to him for you, Chris.
Okay.
Okay, Chris, this is from John in Jasper. He said, with Harrison's speed in track, why does it not equate out to success in football?
You know, that's a good question. They do have a lot of speed, and they always say speed kills. And I think having interest or a lack of interest in the football program over the past couple of years, and I think I've gone over this a couple of times in the show, but Harrison's become a baseball and a basketball school. They were a football school, I think, back in the day when Mitch Marsh was there, and they had some great seasons. They were 10-0, didn't necessarily do that spectacular in the playoffs, but they had great teams year in and year out. And I think the interest, and you got a lot of those athletes that are speedy and have a lot of speed. It doesn't always equate to guys wanting to play football, and I think that is kind of transcended into Harrison being such a great basketball program year in and year out, and having great athletes. A lot of their athletes don't play two sports these days. That's similar for a lot of schools. They specialize. The basketball coaches want the basketball players to be exclusive. The football players or the football coaches want the same, and maybe the track coaches are kind of calling for the same because they have such an incredible program there. And just watching all the track meets and going to the sectionals and districts and everything throughout the years, I've seen Harrison dominate, you know, whether it was Bryce Brown or any of these guys. But if you'd have put some of those guys in the football field, yeah, they would have had so much speed that it's incredible. But I don't think the interest has been there, and I think that's one of the uphill battles that that a new coach like Coach Brunson is facing. But I think he's going to turn that around. I think he's going to get interest in there. I think he's going to do it by playing, having a prolific offense that scores a lot of points. That's kind of the way you attract kids these days, and I think that's kind of indicative of what's happening in the SIC. But great question.
Yeah, John, that was a great question. You know, Chris, I might add to that, just to further your point, you know, running track and playing football are absolutely opposite ways. In football, the conditioning's different, the practice is different, a lot of hitting going on. You're carrying a lot of pads and everything else with you in track. You're out there running your sprints, running your distance, whatever it might be, just totally different. But I think that is the key for any coach when you come into a high school, especially the size of Harrison with some of the players they have. As a coach, you can't wait for the players to come to you. I think when you do that, you start to circle your wagons a little bit. You hurt your program going forward. I don't think Coach Brunson will do that or does that. You start going out in the hallways. You start going out on the fields and the tracks and the gyms, and you start looking for some of those kids and saying, hey, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever looked into doing this? And you try to massage them into playing with expectations of this is what it will take. So great question, but you got to go get your players. You can't recruit, but you can recruit within your four walls of your school. Chris, let's look at some of the games coming up. Here's a great one. I think this is a great one after what we just talked about, what we learned last week. Castle at Central. Two defenses that are bruised, at least ego-wise, are bruised. Central has a prolific offense. Castle can score. I mean, this shapes up to be a solid game, except I would think that Castle will come back and be better defensively than they were. Central, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think you say the defenses are kind of bruised up. I think the offenses, sophomore quarterback Will Randall had four interceptions last week for Castle. Central had four turnovers that really hurt the Bears against Wright. So they've got to do much more than just get their defenses going. They have to get their offenses back on track. Yes, they can score a lot of points, but when you're turning over the ball, it kind of negates some of that, you know, high-scoring offense, and I think that could be the case tonight. You know, whoever turns the ball over less might have a better shot. As who's going to win it? You know, Castle loses to Bossy. They beat Wright, and then Central loses to Wright, but they beat Bossy. I mean, it's kind of a wacky SIAC this year, and it's hard to know who's going to, you know, come out on top in those games.
Yeah, we also have Bossy and Memorial. They're just a cut three blocks away. In fact, I live literally a block from Enloe Field, right out the north gates on the other side of the – so I get the Memorial Bossy student body throughout here, and it's a game that Memorial, again, I've mentioned it a couple times this year, undersized on the lines. Bossy, not a lot of players on the sideline, but some some key athletic and prolific players on the field. Does the weather – we're dealing with turf here in the EBSC right now, so it doesn't affect it as much. But I've got to believe for Memorial, they've got to be ready for the quickness of Bossy.
Yeah, and Memorial hasn't scored a whole lot of points this year, and Bossy is pretty much every game they put up a ton of points. They've got a great running back, Carrington Crutcher, at 163 yards last week. We've talked about their quarterback, Ian Nunley, how he's kind of evolved into a good SIAC quarterback. And then you got Memorial, who's got McKinley Warren, who I think is just one of the best players, if not the best individual player in the SIAC. He's dangerous on special teams. He's a great running back, great wide receiver. You just have a lot of talent for both teams on the offensive side. I think it's going to come down to who can shut down who, and maybe if Memorial can keep up with that high score in Bossy offense. I think Bossy is going to get their 20, 25 points at least, and I think Memorial has yet to really score that many points, except maybe in a loss to Modern Day, they scored 21. They had a pretty good start against Jasper, but they only beat North 17-10. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of which gives out tonight, Memorial's defense or Bossy's offense.
Well, I've got to believe if you're Memorial, you're saying, hey, Bossy scores a lot of points, but they've given up quite a few, so we've got a great chance to maybe get outside and get some passes, some passing game, get McKinley open and score some points. But you're right, you got to be able to defend Bossy because they're putting up like 40 points a game. I don't know. It's just going to be a tough task. Other games in the city are North at Modern Day, Wrights at Harrison. We're at this point in the SIAC season. We've talked about parity or mediocrity, whatever it might be. Chris, as I do every week, anybody surprised you or any team surprised you at this point?
Not really. You know, I think Modern Day is kind of where I thought they would be after seeing them make a pretty good run in the playoffs last year. They had Gable coming back. They had a new quarterback, but you kind of thought, you know, that would be the case, that Mike Gable would put somebody in there and he would do well. I tell you who surprised me outside of the SIAC is Princeton. They're 3-1 doing that game tonight, and I'm kind of interested to see them and see that county. And I don't know what's happening up in Gibson County, but holy cow, how do you have two teams that are 7-1? And we're talking about a couple of years ago; those teams weren't to that level. So that's kind of interesting to me outside of the SIAC, inside the SIAC. Maybe the fact Castle's so up and down, that's surprising. Bossy has been pretty good, and Wright's has kind of been up and down. It's just kind of a shift of powers, I think, so far.
And Chris, you guys, as you mentioned, are doing that Princeton-Gibson-Southern game, and I really think that is an interesting game for two reasons. Obviously, the vaunted offense of Gibson-Southern and their defense isn't too bad either. To continue to progress and play at such a high level, and then to find out where Princeton really is, and I think Coach Schenk, that's one of the things, you know, he talked about in an interview that I saw. He said, last year we started out pretty well, and we struggled after that. We didn't know how to win. We didn't know how to compete against the better teams. He said, this year we're bigger, stronger, smarter, more mature. I think we will compete and win against the better teams. This will be a big task after coming off the Mount Carmel loss, where they did score points but couldn't hold Mount Carmel down. They're going up against an offensive juggernaut in Gibson Southern.
Yeah, and you look at these teams, what they've scored during the year. Gibson Southern scored 60 in one game, 50 in the next game, 56 in the next, and then 45. They kind of had an off night, scoring 45 in their last game. And then Princeton scores 55 in their first, 52 in their second, 60 in their third, and then 35. They kind of, I guess, like you said, had an off game against Mount Carmel, but still put up 35 points. And you talk about the SIAC connections. Nick Hart was a former quarterback at Wrights High School, the head coach at Gibson Southern. I mean, he's got to be up. I don't even know if they give that kind of award, but he's got to be up for Coach of the Year in the state of Indiana. If they do give that kind of award, he should be, because what he's done for that program has been nothing short of miraculous. I think turning it around 15-3 in 2 years, having a great run. And then you got Waylon Schenk, who is a former Bossy standout, who's the head coach at Princeton. He's 7-7 during his short career at Princeton, but he certainly got them on the right track. And who would have thought a coach would be 7-7 at Princeton about 5 years ago? Because you're talking about a team that I can't remember what the streak was, but I know they lost. I'm going to say it was definitely the double digits, maybe 30 or 40 that they had lost in a row. I know it was quite a few, and he's got that program turned around. And I think it could be an absolute slugfest, and it's kind of what we were talking about. Probably not going to see a whole bunch of defense, probably a pretty high-scoring game. I think Gibson Southern's probably going to come out on top. They get a little more experience. That program's just a little bit ahead of where Princeton is at this point, but that could be a rivalry for the years to come that simply wasn't in the past decade.
Well, you better make sure you have something to drink sitting next to you, because you're going to be talking a lot with all the scores that I think will go on. And I think Princeton can find out a lot about their offense against at least what has been a pretty solid Gibson Southern defense up to this point in the year. So it'll be an interesting game. Can't wait to watch it on tape delay. Tonight would have been a great night to have a live game, though, Chris, with this weather.
I know. We would have been probably up till midnight or something, but... You know, seriously, when we do have lightning strikes, you know, they usually evacuate the fans out of the stands, which is just a fantastic thing. And the unfortunate thing for us as a TV crew, if we're doing it live, or if, you know, we have a truck that has a dish on the top, but it's the first strike of lightning usually means the end of our game. And there's a slight chance that if that happens tonight that we won't be able to show that on tape delay tomorrow. So I just want to warn people out there, if it's not on tomorrow at 7 o'clock and that game is pushed into Saturday because of lightning and weather, that there's a chance because of the weather that it might not be tape delayed at all.
Got it. Chris, thanks again for being with us. Love having you. Chris Goodman, if you're looking for insurance, get over to Newberg and go see him. Chris Goodman, once again, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. You guys do a great job.
Thanks, Chris. And we'll come back and we'll do some mailbag talk and some other stuff. Obviously, Michigan State playing Notre Dame. A number of other things to talk about on the Coach K and Joe Show. We'll be back in just a bit. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Tell me, what is your secret? How do you find yourself in the right positions all the time?
That's a good question. What happens is the center has the ball first, and quarterback will say hike. That's when the center puts the ball into the hands of the quarterback. So what I'll do is I'll start tackling the quarterback, unless he gives the ball to somebody else, in which case I'll try to tackle that person.
Gentlemen, what brings me to my next point? Don't smoke crack.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Coach, do you remember when you used to sing this song back in the day?
Toto. Toto has that song, wasn't it?
I remember instead of Rosanna, you used to sing, "Oh, Janet," you know? Don't you remember that?
And I still do. We're coming up on our, I think, 27 years of marriage next weekend, and I'm still singing, "Oh, Janet, Oh, Janet." And I want her to know that. My best friend... And the best thing I've ever done in life, along with having my kids and obviously my faith. Hey, speaking of Tom, you know, you had Tom give the segue into the show. He texted about 30 minutes ago. He said, time for some feats of strength along the Ohio River, going to the Coach K and Joe show. So thank you, Tom, for texting out on Twitter and or tweeting out on Twitter, excuse me, and giving the show a plug. And also, Joe, I don't know if you knew this, Tom's son turned 13 this week.
I didn't know that. Well, happy birthday.
And my son Scott turned 13 this month as well. And I know you're got a little mess going on. I don't want to say mess, little hiccup in the Milligan house. Your son Rafe broke his arm. Was that in football practice?
It was in a game. He grabbed a guy by his shirt, tried to drag him down, and someone hit him and the ball carrier with his arm extended. And I guess the day and age of a broken arm being basically an season-ending injury is gone, because they said in 2 weeks they'll put a shorter cast on him and he can play. And I was like, wow, okay. So if there's no pain, and I told Rafe, I need to know the truth, because I know it's killing him to not be able to play for 2 weeks. So I told him, I need to know the truth, though. So we'll see. We'll
see
how that goes.
And, you know, careful. Be careful with that, because he's I don't know if our listeners realize that, but in the state, he's a state-ranked swimmer in the state of Indiana, and we sure wouldn't want that injury to linger on through swimming.
Yeah, exactly. You ready for the mailbag?
Let's hit the mailbag, Joe.
The Coach K mailbag. I put word out earlier in the week. I sent out texts, I sent out emails, et cetera, PMs on Facebook too. Two people I know that are Coach K and Joe show fans, and you know, your Coach K speaks the truth. I guess they want to know just how knowledgeable and truthful you are. So let's get started.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth. Woo!
Okay, let's get started. Tom from Huntingburg wants to your opinion. If it was David Ruderman sitting at 13th in the chase, would they have made a special decision to add him to the chase like they did to Jeff Gordon?
Well, Tom from Huntingburg, is that what you said? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. I am disappointed in NASCAR for letting Jeff Gordon in the chase. But, you know, obviously NASCAR is saying, you know, we're looking for ratings. We're looking for more fans being interested, and we're going to skirt the fact that he didn't deserve to be in the race. We're going to go ahead and put him in, and I really think that really speaks to the insincerity of the chase and what it was set up to be. And I'm disappointed in the whole mess that went along. But as I said before, Joe, when you allow teams to have multiple racers or multiple drivers, you're going to have problems in a race anyway, people doing things they wouldn't be doing otherwise to get somebody else in the chase or somebody else to get the win so they all benefit. But for NASCAR to do that, I'm kind of confused on all of that. I don't get it. And I would say every year now, if there's a popular driver, Tom, right on the edge, they're going to come out publicly and say, you did it for Jeff Gordon, and they put themselves in a position where they're going to have to deal with this every year now.
Okay, next question is from, I can't make out the name here. I wrote it down, and now I can't make the name. He's from Bloomington. You know who you are. He's a loyal Teagues reader, and he wants to get your opinion. Says on IU's recruiting, seems like a lot of recruits are going elsewhere. We lost one again yesterday to Seton Hall. What do you think is wrong with the IU's basketball recruiting?
Man, I tell you what, it's like night and day, isn't it? I mean, here we had a situation where we had the best recruiting staff in the country, and now we're struggling to get even a recruit in. I don't know if it's a combination of who looks better for us today, and players and coaches are talking to their players and saying, hey, you know, you're just a number, and if they find somebody better, you're going to get pushed down the line. I don't want to put Coach Crean in that box, but, you know, Mike Davis, and Coach Crean's not Mike Davis. People don't even text me or email us saying, how can you compare the two? I'm not comparing the two. Coach Davis got a bad reputation throughout the state of Indiana because he did not show respect and a commitment to the state of Indiana. He didn't recruit in Indiana the way he should have. Coach Crean came in and kind of changed that. I mean, we literally had players who were in the state of Indiana who would normally have gone to IU, stayed in state. They didn't. They went to North Carolina. They went to Illinois. They went to Michigan State. You know the names. We all know the names. And it hurt us in the long run. I don't know what's going on in Bloomington, but I suspect, and I know I'm going to get criticized for this, I suspect that there's a question of the sincerity of the recruiting process. Players who have left, who were brought in, all of a sudden they leave. People say, oh, well, you know, they wanted to go somewhere else. Did they, or were they not welcome anymore? And I think moms and dads and high school coaches, especially the ones that stay involved with their players, say, you want to go to a school where you get a commitment for your 4 years or your 3 years, whatever it might be if you're that good. But you want a commitment on where you're going to be in that lineup. Will you have an opportunity to become a starter? Will you have an opportunity to get playing time? Not guaranteed, Joe. Not guaranteed. But you know that you're being recruited because the coach and the staff want you. Not we're going to stockpile you, and we're going to put you in here until we find somebody else that can come in that's better. And I think that's a question. And there's going to be those people out there that say, we don't care, we want the best player, whoever it is, each year, what month it is, it doesn't matter. And those who say, you know, there's a right way to do this with sincerity and commitment. You want it from the players? You got to give it as a coach. But right now, I'm a little confused by it, a little concerned by it. I know we'll end up with some good players. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to Peaks about that in some coming shows with Hoosier Hysteria is coming up, I believe, on October 4th, Joe. We'll see who's in the stands to watch that as far as recruiting. But, yeah, you know, it's a question. It's a question. And you might look at Louisville the same way. Why have they lost a couple of guys who committed in recent months? Jaquan Lyle from Bossy, was it Bossy? He decommitted from Louisville. And they also had another top-notch player that decommitted recently. So you got to wonder if players aren't looking now saying, am I just a number? Or am I the flavor of the day? Or are these coaches really making a commitment to me?
Okay, next question is for both of us, but I'm going to let you have 100% of this question, okay?
No, you get some of it.
Yeah. No, I can't because I don't know. Who do you favor in the WNBA championships? This is for Marion Jasper.
What do you
I'm
mean
guilty.
You
don't know? I don't know who's in it. I can't help. Indiana Fever. That's who's going to win it. Are they in it?
Well, do you think they're in it?
I don't know.
Do you follow the WNBA?
No.
Why not?
I just don't. I don't know. I didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, in fact, there was a game on last night. There was a game on last night on ESPN.
Is Indiana in it? I don't have any idea.
I'm looking to see who all is in it because I want to find out for sure whether I think... I'll tell you what, Mary, you have just stumped me, and I feel bad, but I got to bone up on my WNBA. The Fever are in it, and I know that our Indianapolis contributor, Don Schulteis, would love to see the Fever win it all. It's a competitive league. I've said this before, that girls basketball from high school to college to the WNBA, even though it's not popular as far as a fan base yet, It's about as pure a basketball as you can get. And as a coach, I would love not have any problem coaching the ladies on any of those levels, because they play basketball at such a pure level. I'm going with the Fever. They play in Chicago, and Chicago's got a pretty good team, I believe, pretty good players. But I'm going to have to look, Mary. I feel Joe won't admit that he's messed up, but I messed up. I got to follow a little bit more of the WNBA. But I'm looking for Don Schulteis to. He's tweeting, texting me right now, and he says the Fever have been plagued by injuries, but they are healthier now. So our Indianapolis contributor, the Coach K and Joe Show, is on it with Don Schulteis, our Indianapolis contributor, who will be on the show in just a little bit.
And here's I got two questions left. Here's one of my favorites. I just got this in, actually. So it's going to the top of the list because I like it. I like what he says. It's from Max in Montgomery. I wonder if Josh knows him. We don't know who Max's last name is. But he says, if Coach K speaks the truth, give us your review of iOS 7.
Okay. I'm not going to give a review of the iOS 7, although I could. I'm not going to, because Joe is working on a contract to get us some kind of procurement deal to get some kind of financial support in reviewing the iOS 7. A lot of people love iOS 7, but we will review that. I just want to make sure that we're getting some feedback there, Joe. What's going on?
I'm not sure. I just saw that, heard that too.
Well,
I'm not sure. Well, do you want to hear the last question?
We've got some feedback. But, Max, you're getting double duty from the Coach K and Joe Show. After Joe lets me know about the contract, I'll talk about iOS.
Yeah, okay, Coach. Last question. This is from Craig and Jasper. How did you feel about the Dodgers celebration in the Arizona Diamondbacks hot tub out in the outfield last night?
Well, first of all, congratulations to Don Mattingly. Man, Joe, that feedback's driving me crazy.
I'm not getting feedback. I'm just getting you cutting out.
Okay, well, what I'm getting is after I talk, it repeats what I say back.
Okay. No, I'm not sure how that's happening.
Craig, I'm going to go ahead and answer. I love that the Dodgers clinched. No problem with the Dodgers celebrating. I think because Arizona made a big deal about, please, Dodgers, don't celebrate if you clinch on our field, they went ahead and jumped in the pool out in the outfield, which I have seen when I went out to watch Scott Rolen and Andy Benes play against each other. But I can remember a game at Dubois, Northeast Dubois, when I was at Washington Catholic, and we came back from like a 10-point deficit. It was a big conference win. It put us in first place. We won on a last-second three. Our three or a layup from Ty Madison, and we went to center court and celebrated. And I remember getting pelted by a few Coke cups from the Dubois fans. And I was okay with getting pelted. But when you clinch something or win something major, it shouldn't matter where you're at. You should be able to celebrate. I didn't have a problem with it. They may have went a little too far, but I didn't have a problem with it. But karma, payback, and all that, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. Okay, that's the mailbag, and we've got to find some way to introduce and end the mailbag. And right now, I'll just end that part of the segment with this.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth!
Woo! Yeah, and Coach K does speak the truth. Whether it's your truth or not, I don't know, but it's my truth. And I can tell you this, I've been right on this show a lot more than I've been wrong. And somebody asked me the other day, what's this New York, New Jersey? Well, when the Hoosiers played out in New York at the Barclays Center, our contributor Don Schulteis was out there watching the game. I was supposed to go, but I couldn't get there to do it. And Don was talking with some people out there, and they were listening to the Coach K and Joe show. And one of the guys, they were IU fans, and they were in from one lived in New York and one lived in New Jersey. And Don asked them to do a promotional for the show, which they gladly did. And they and I've received a text from them before that they do listen to the show. And once they heard that Joe was a Purdue fan, it was clear that they were all for Coach K and Coach K speaking the truth. And we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to have Kurt Guxell, Don Schulteis will be joining us. We're going to rant a little. We're going to talk about Raider football. We're going to talk about all the things Kurt Guxell loves to talk about and some of the things he doesn't. You're listening right now to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar and Son Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Strong words from a strong man, Captain Insano. Now let's take a call. It's our old friend from Jackson's Bayou, Mr. B.
Hello, Jim. Is it possible to speak to Captain Insano?
Shoot, Mr. B.
Captain Insano, I notice sometimes when you are wrestling or opening up a can of whoop-ass, as you like to say, you seem to be sweating quite profusely.
Yeah?
I was wondering if perhaps you might need this services of an experienced water boy.
That's pretty cute. How old are you, kid? 11? 12?
I am 31 years old.
I couldn't see that guy still a virgin.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe show, and we are joined by indie contributor Don Schulteis and WBDC sports director Kurt Guxell. Guys, are you ready to rant or not?
Are you guys there, Captain Insano and Bobby Boucher? Are you on the air?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm not going to say who's Bobby Boucher, who's Captain Insano. I'm not going to go there, but I'm glad to have you guys on the show. We got Kurt Guxell and Don Schulteis joining us. And, guys, we've had another good show. We're anticipating a lot of rain tonight. Kurt Guxell, I'm sure you're going to be out calling the game. We're going to start with you, Kurt. Who do the Raiders have on tap on what could be a thunderous, lightning, and wet Friday night?
I certainly hope not, but Southridge is going to South Spencer. 2-3-1 teams are going to play down at Fred Air Field, a great venue for football. It's always neat to go down there. They have no track surrounding their field. Their fans on both sides are right around the field, and it's a great venue and looking forward to a good game.
Well, you know, regardless of the weather, folks, get out there, and sometimes it's a lot of fun to watch football games in some of this soggy weather, seeing who can keep their footing. Does it change the passing game? Does it change the running game? How do coaches make adjustments, and how do the young players make adjustments on the field? The Raiders have been playing some pretty darn good football under their first-year coach. Are you surprised, Kurt, or did you feel like they would just fall in line and continue to be the successful program they've been?
Let's clarify, it's no fun when it's raining and storming and it's muddy, so let's get that straight right now.
I used to love doing it. We used to play tackle football, no pads, down at Alumni Stadium after we graduated from high school. We just play full tackle, no pads, and it was usually muddy. Joe always stood out on the side. He didn't want to get dirty.
Right, yeah. Maybe that's fun, but watching the trained high school players try to play, and it's not very fun. But getting back to your question, I thought Southridge, with the guys that they had coming back and the way they train, the way they go about things, that they'd be a pretty good football team. Coach Buning has picked up where Coach Murphy's left off. He's throwing in a few wrinkles of his own. Their veteran staff has kept the guys on track. And plus, they've got some guys. I mean, their quarterback's one of the best around. They've got a running back in Connor Craig that's ran for over 400 yards. He also has over 400 yards receiving for a team that throws the ball about seven times per ball game. They've had the propensity for big plays. Their drive chart last week was three plays, 71 yards, two plays, you know, 65 yards. So they've been very good at the big play. And other than the Jasper game, they've limited the big play on defense. They fumbled the ball once out of the first four games. Their quarterback, Luke Stetter, has not thrown a pick. So the giveaway takeaway has been in their favor, and I think that's helped a lot with them. And they've played really good football. They dismantled North Posey last week 40-0, and that's a proud program who's also in a coaching change. You never expect that in that game, but they really played well in that ball game last week.
Yeah, if you changed a couple minutes around in that Jasper game, you could have the Raiders sitting there at 4-0 instead of 3-1. In the Pac Conference, they've given up 43 points, which is second behind Gibson Southern. They've scored 175 points, second behind Gibson Southern. Two pretty solid teams. When do we get to see that Gibson Southern Southridge matchup?
That is the last game of the season, and this happens every year. Everybody, all they do is talk about Gibson Southern, and Southridge ends up beating them by 20 or 30 points. It happens every year, but it looks like Gibson Southern is track. I don't know what's going to happen this year, but I always find that interesting how Gibson always gets a lot of good run, but then in the end, that's what happens in that ball game. But that is in week 9, getting ready for the sectional.
Yeah, I think that'll be a matchup. You're right, Kurt. A lot of people will be looking for it because of the way Gibson Southern has played the last couple years under Coach Hart. And the Raiders, of course, have perennially put together a strong program. It'll be interesting to see if Gibson Southern has taken that next step to where that Raider and Titan game becomes a matchup that people enjoy watching. Kurt, we had a question from Mary, and she talked about the WNBA, and I got to tell you something. I watched a little bit of the game last night on ESPN, but I haven't watched a lot of WNBA, and I know Don Schulteis texted me some info on it so I could at least respond. Are you a follower of the WNBA?
No, I am not.
Don Schulteis, our Indy contributor, at least could give us a little insight. Don, what's going on with the Indiana Fever?
Well, I hope you guys are aware that they are the defending world champions of the WNBA, correct? Okay, well,
I do know that.
They started the season off plagued with the number of injuries, so they struggled early on, but a number of their players have gotten healthier, and they've been able to get into the playoffs, but I don't think that they've shined as much as people were anticipating, given that they won it all last year. But they are in the playoffs. They're getting their they're getting their players back and healthier. They play the Chicago Fever in the best of three starting tonight, and then they play Sunday and Tuesday. And hopefully they can make a run. Believe it or not, last year during their championship series, I did attend a WNBA Fever game, and it was it was a good time and a pretty good basketball. They got a hell of a coach, and they got some good players. So anyway,
hopefully Don, when you get those tickets again this year, you'll invite me up and we'll watch it together. Report on it on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Absolutely.
And Mary, thanks again for that question. I hope this helps a little bit as you listen to the show and try to stump us again. But I'll be up on the Fever and I'll be up on the WNBA next time. Hey, Kurt, I want to jump back with you. Let's go swimming for just a minute here. The Dodgers clinch against Arizona and they jump in the pool out in the outfield. What are your thoughts, buddy?
Yeah, I guess Arizona wasn't too happy about it, and led by a guy named Kirk Gibson who doesn't like any of that kind of stuff. But you know what? If you didn't like the Dodgers winning, play better. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what do you expect them to do? I mean, can we not have any kind of fun? I guess that's against the baseball code. There's all kinds
of baseball code. I didn't have any problem with them celebrating. I'll tell you what I thought was sad was that the Diamondbacks came out ahead of time and said, hey, don't celebrate, limit your celebration if you clinch, don't do it on our field. You know what? What are you asking for there? It's like telling your kid, don't touch that, it's hot. You burn yourself. You better keep watching because they're going to touch it.
Well, it's one of those things is you work hard for 162 games. You know, the NFL, I have no. It goes back to like the pros or even in high school, college football. Guy gets into the end zone, celebrate a little bit. That's what it's fun. You know, the great Scott Rowland has said a lot of things that we all like laughed and made fun of or just thought was rather weird or quirky. But when he said, "I play baseball, I don't work baseball," that was one of the best lines he ever had. These guys are playing a game. Let them have fun. I don't care what level of sports it is, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And Don, you know, playing in high school and different things, you know, you look back and why would you be stoic, whether it be high school, college, pro? It is a game. It's an emotional game, and there is a celebration. No, you don't need to taunt the other team. They didn't taunt anybody. They celebrated their championship. What could you say that they went a little bit overboard? Maybe they did, but they shouldn't have been mouthed off to about not celebrating. Don, the game is supposed to be fun. It's tough when you lose. It hurts like heck. You got to celebrate when you win.
I agree, Coach. I think too many kids and too many players, keep that game face on all the time, and I think a lot of times it causes people to play tight. And I've encouraged my kids, and I've coached a little bit, at the lower grade levels. And you want to keep these kids loose. You want to make sure they're playing to have fun, and part of the game is, you know, a little celebration when you accomplish your goals, and they accomplish goals. And just think, the LA Dodgers were written off earlier in the year. I mean, Mattingly was on the block every other day. They were talking about how he was going to be fired, and how these guys were underperforming and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they came out like gangbusters, turned it around, and never looked back. And so if they want to celebrate their win, now the key is they can't get too overhyped because the playoffs start. And you don't
you're going to find out how professional these guys are, how mentally prepared they are, because you celebrate and then you go back and you get ready to play. And, you know, it goes back.
But if they lay an egg now, they're going to.
You're right, and it'll come back to haunt them. But, you know, the point you made about the Dodgers, and early in the year, in June, people had written them off. But as one of our listeners and a former player of mine said, you know, pennants aren't won in May and June. And Donnie Baseball hung in there, and the ownership of the Dodgers stood with him and stood with the trades they made. And Kurt, the consistency, they kept it. and it ends up where they wanted to be, clinching a pennant.
Right. They were very patient, and they knew what they had in their hand. They knew what kind of players they had. They knew if guys performed like they always have in the past, they'd be fine. And they probably knew what the other teams had. You know, so they just kept on pace and kept on track and able to win. I mean, whether they win from now on, I don't know, but they certainly did it since, I think, June 22nd. They were like, since then, they were like 58-20-something. Great.
Phenomenal record since that period. And Donnie Baseball, of course, is focused, and he's been on that field. He's been through tough seasons, and to see them have some success is great. Boston also will get into the playoffs. I think it's the first time since both teams have been in, maybe since 2000. I think Boston's 2009. It might be the same for the Dodgers. So they're both back in the playoffs, and the playoffs are always better. I like it when the Yankees are there. I don't think they're going to make it, and they played A-Rod, so they don't deserve to make it. And Boston's there, and Dodgers will be there, and that'll be all good. Let's go over to this Bo Pelini stuff, Kurt. I'm going to start with you. Who is this coward that holds on to this little tape and decides to release this on Nebraska coach Bo Pelini, venting in a private situation? Guys, listen, sportscasters, coaches, we've all done it. We've all complained about the fans. We've all complained about those facets of what we do. It's your vent. You get it out. I thought this was a cowardly. I thought it was sad, just sad.
Well, I did too, because especially when it came out like 2 years after the fact, who did it? Was it somebody in the media? Was it a fan that got a hold of this? You know, as a media member, I knew it wasn't the guy. I knew it wasn't the guy that was recording the interview, because God knows how many coaches we could bury if we just had tape rolling in moments of frustration from coaches. I mean, even at the high school or college level. But I just thought it was really weak how they know that they can take down these guys, or they can make big news when they do this. You know?
And yeah, and I don't know, Don, what's right here and what's wrong about going ahead and playing this with the national media. I mean, this happened 2 years ago. This was a venting situation. You know, they can say, well, Bo Pelini should respect that he's the Nebraska coach and getting paid a lot of money and his fan. Let's face it, fans are fickle. I'm a fan. I'm fickle. Joe's the worst. One day he hates Purdue. The next day he thinks they're great. I mean, Don, why does this get national play? Why is this news when there's so many other things in the sports world going on?
Because it's sound bites. I mean, the coach makes millions of dollars a year. They've got a huge fan base. They can roll that out. They keep it in their files. And when the guy wants to press the button to roll it out, he can, and it makes news. And, you know, it's just the way the media is today. We've got Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all kinds of other, Divine, all this stuff that's going on, the internet, everything's going 24 hours a day, every second. People are looking for new stuff to put on, and it got news for a couple of days. And finally, the chancellor and the AD, once they got their arms around it, were able to put it to rest. But, you know, that just goes to show you it was wrong for the media to do that, but coaches really have to be private. I mean, you really got to have a close group of people. And when you're venting, it's got to be just a couple of different people that you highly trust, or it's going to come back and get you.
And Don, you're right, because with the iPhones today and the smartphones, and you never know when somebody's got the recording on. And I know, as a coach, just on the high school level in the smaller communities where the fan base is a lot more rabid, you know, Kurt Gooksell, I trusted him. Walt Ferber, I trusted him. When I was at Washington Catholic, I had a couple of situations where Bill Richardson, he's over in Lawrenceville, Illinois now, he was doing the Washington paper, and we had a couple situations where I vented in front of him. He easily could have thrown me under the bus, and he didn't. There's got to be some trust, and there's got to be an understanding of when this is a serious situation, And when it's just, gosh, you know, guys just letting off steam, just like players do after games, just like officials do, I think it's off the front pages, and now it's off the Coach K and Joe show. Kansas City goes in, beats Philly. The former Philadelphia coach comes back, gets a, I don't know if it's revenge, but he beats Philly. You got the vaunted, 2 weeks ago, Kurt Gucksell, Chip Kelly had revolutionized
yeah.
the NFL, and you can go back and play our tape. You can listen to our podcasts, which are available 24 hours a day on the Coach K and Joe show.com. Listen to it. I told you, and I'm sure, Kurt, you'll agree, the NFL is not made up of high school teams. These are some of the best players, best athletes, best coaches in the world, and they're going to figure out the nuances, and they're going to figure out what to do and the takeaways, and the turnovers that Washington committed aren't going to happen every game. And now Chip Kelly's offense and direction is getting criticized as Kansas City goes in and beats Philadelphia.
Well, yeah, I mean, last week it was great, and that's how every team in the NFL is going to approach things. Now Chip Kelly's over his head as a head coach, you know, and it's not going to work. But, you know, but that's how radical we get about things. Instead of just sitting back and going, you know what, Chip Kelly may be right, he may be wrong on what he's doing, or this coach or that coach. But that's how the NFL is, week by week. If, you know, you're good, you're bad. You know, the Colts are good 1 week. Next week they're bad. This week they'll probably be bad because the 49ers will hammer them. But they probably won't be as bad as you think they are. I mean, it was weird that now Kelly, that's not going to work, you know. But I give it to Kansas City because that's one of those situations where Reed goes in there. I guess he's establishing a certain culture. They're 3-0. They won 2 games last year. They got a heck of a quarterback, and Alex Smith, I know that. But that was a good win for them going into Philadelphia and getting it no matter, you know, what kind of offense Chip Kelly's running.
Yeah, and Don, change happens, and it's okay. Coach Reed, his time in Philadelphia, which was one of the longest tenured, it's over. He's able to muster the energy back up and do what he does best and go coach. He puts that aside and goes into Kansas City, what has been historically a great NFL franchise. It's been down. He's building it back up. But he's not the miracle worker either. He's having some good weeks. It's going to take time. The same thing for Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly can coach. He's going to have to make some adjustments. But when you've got the mothership, or ESPN, as Dan Patrick liked to call it, I call it the hyping ship, everything was just incredible. 59 offensive plays. Chip Kelly, oh, my gosh. It was pretty clear that Washington was making turnovers that aren't going to be made. It was pretty clear that Philadelphia is not a great team talent-wise. It's got some pieces, but a puzzle has to be put together. Chip Kelly's going to be okay. Kansas City's going to be okay. But everything takes time and needs to be looked at where it's really at, Don.
I agree. I think Michael Vick, Chip Kelly's good for Michael Vick. I think he's going to be able to exploit all his strengths. But you got to play both sides of the football, and you got to quit making mistakes. And last night, early in that game, Philadelphia looked like they were not a tight ship. And, you know, that in the NFL, as you pointed out, Coach, these guys are pros, and these guys are tough. They've scouted you, looked at you inside and out all week to get prepared, and as the weeks go on, they're gonna counter the offenses, and we're already seeing it. And that's why you got to play both sides of the football. And that's why, you know, I didn't play a lot of football growing up, but they, you know, just like in anything, defense wins championships. Defense can counteract a good offense, and you know you gotta have that. And Philly's just not there on the defensive side.
No, and defense is so important in the NFL because the offenses, they're just so much better than they used to be. The passing game is just amazing. The running game, which used to be the most important part of the football game in the NFL, now takes a little bit of a backseat, but you still got to have that to complement it. Great programs take time to build. They aren't done overnight. Talent comes in, talent goes out. whether it's high school. I mean, on a high school level, you think of the great programs just around our area. I can think, in fact, the winningest of basketball coach in the state of Indiana, Jack Butcher, just had a birthday recently. Happy birthday, Coach Butcher. All those things take time to develop. They cycle in, they cycle out. And especially on the NFL, you've got to have the guys to put in the right spot. Speaking of the NFL and speaking of earth-shattering, at least some people think it is, Trent Richardson to the Colts. Oh, my gosh. Everybody's saying, Jim Irsay saying, you better, Pagano, you better win this year. You better get to the Super Bowl. That's why we made this trade. What's your take on this trade, and how do you think it affects Cleveland as well? Kurt, we lose you? All right, we must have lost Kurt. Trent Richardson was traded to the Colts from the Browns. The first thing I hear is this is a statement to the Colts coaching staff. We expect you to win now. We expect you to get to the Super Bowl. I'm not sure about that. My feeling is that this is going to help the Colts have a more balanced attack. But Trent Richardson, in my opinion, has not proved himself in the NFL. Don, you're still with us, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Don,
I'm still here.
You're in Indianapolis. What was the hype? What was the feelings going on about the Colts and Trent Richardson?
Well, Pep Hamilton, the new offensive coordinator for the Colts, made it a strong point that he was going to have a balanced offense, and he wanted to have a power-running game to complement Andrew Luck and his passing game. And when Ballard went down last week, I think it was, and they looked around, and I think on paper this was a good trade. I mean, they gave up their number one draft pick for next year, which is going to be a mid to late round number one, and what do you usually get for that? You've got what was the third pick 2 years ago in the draft coming out of Alabama. He's got impressive numbers and that kind of thing. You're right, he hasn't really proved himself at Cleveland, but you're talking about Cleveland. But one of the things that I think on paper it's a good deal, and we'll just have to see if he's healthy and he can deliver what they're hoping that he can deliver. But Coach K, one of the things that I have real concerns about with the Colts, and I said this after watching the first game, and now we're coming into to week four, that you know we've got some problems with the offense, quite frankly. I don't know what's going on, but we don't look comfortable. Luck doesn't look as comfortable. And I know it's a new offensive coordinator. I know it's a new offensive game plan and that kind of thing. But, boy, they better get this thing kind of fixed here in the next couple of weeks or talking Super Bowl, I think we're going to have trouble making the playoffs. I mean, we got to play the 49ers this week, and it doesn't get much easier as you go out. So I think people should be looking at that offense. We scored 20 points at home last week, which was kind of a yawner, I thought, from an offensive standpoint, and we should have won that game. And I'm not seeing the explosiveness that we had last year.
Well, Don, I will tell you that I have to agree with you about how the offense looks. And I really like to look at a player's face whenever they will show them. And I know the camera hit on Luck several times, and he just didn't have that look of – I don't want to say that – he just didn't have that look of, you know, we're moving. I really – you just sense it in his expression. I just didn't see that. Kurt, you're a Miami fan. Miami gets the big win. If Trent Richardson is a part of that team last week, do the Colts beat the Dolphins, or is this the adding of Richardson something to grow with as they go forward?
You know, I don't know what kind of factor he would have been in that game, because the Dolphins defense is really, really good, and especially, and you guys are talking about the Colts. That the point that I think where they're just lacking is that offensive line. You know, they I mean, name anybody on that offensive line. Not that you have to have big name guys, but they're going to have trouble running the ball. I don't care who's back there, or if Andrew Luck giving him time to throw. I mean, he's always hurried. He's hitting the ground. So I think that's where their problem lies. But with Richardson, I think it's a great thing for them to get that marquee back, because you got to have somebody that can carry that football and be a feature back in that league. And as Donnie said, you know, if the Colts have a season that they're going to think they have or they want to have, they're going to be picking in the 20s, you know, mid, low 20s, maybe even high 20s if they go further. And, you know, a guy like the position that they picked in last year because they went to the playoffs, this Bjorn Warner, I mean, he's not going to be an impact guy. You got to get the players, if you think you're going to have a team this year in these sports, get the guys now. I mean, the Yankee teams, the Red Sox teams, the good Philly teams in baseball, the Dodger teams, you don't win with prospects. All these baseball people freak out when you send, you know, so-and-so ranked prospect in the minor leagues to somebody to win now. I don't, because they give you 50 draft picks every year to get new Billy Hamilton. You know what I'm saying? You get seven or eight guys in the NFL draft. And a lot of those guys in the good organizations, they develop those guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth rounds. And there's a lot of guys in the early rounds that are bust every year. You win now. You know, you don't choose when you make the playoffs or make a run in these sports. It chooses you. So I give Ryan Grigson all kinds of credit, you know, because, again, you're going to get draft. You're going to get good draft picks down the line. So win now. So I applaud them. I mean, right away people in Indy freaked out. Oh, we're giving away a draft pick. It's part of the culture is, you know, everybody's looking towards the future no matter what walk of life you're in. Go for the present.
Yeah, and if Trent Richardson can just give them a little bit more of a dimension and even be able to block a little bit to help Luck out, he's starting to remind me of some of the things you see Ben Roethlisberger going through, where Ben just got beat up there for a couple of years, and you don't want that to happen with Luck, because he's young, and we don't want him to have those injuries, especially, you know, Colt fans, you don't want to see that. On the flip side, you say win now. You got to win now. You don't pick your time. Cleveland's trying to pick its time. They have just loaded up draft picks for next year. Is this a good move for a franchise that is not going to win now, even with Trent Richardson? Thoughts on that, Kurt?
Well, I think it is for them, and every organization is different, because a lot of these guys in the Cleveland front office now weren't the guys that picked Trent Richardson or picked Brandon Weeden. So they got their own agenda, and every time you come in as a new regime, you buy yourself a little time, at least with your bosses. The fans are hot because they don't want to start over. But as far as their jobs are concerned, you know, they're going to buy some time and they're going to get their right quarterback, whether it be Hundley from UCLA or Bridgewater from Louisville. Because they're not high on Weeden, and they want another featured running back that they're going to be able to get down the line. So I don't think they were sold on Richardson either.
They stink. I mean, even if they get a Bridgewater, they stink. And you look at this team, since it's been back in Cleveland, I think they're the second worst winning percentage in the league. 8 head coaches in 18 years. Every year we hear Cleveland's making a step forward, and every year they end up stinking. I mean, literally stinking. And how does Cleveland, the All-American city, who gets so much credit for the early years of the NFL, they're so bad. And other than Terry Francona coming in and reigniting this Cleveland baseball team, they're pretty bad. They had a run there for a little bit in the 90s, but they're pretty bad. I mean, Cleveland just – I don't know, Kurt. I mean, Cleveland – Indianapolis has been in these pro sports a lot less time, and they have a lot more success than Cleveland. I don't even know, do you want to go there and play?
Well, it's the regimes. It's the who's taking over now. That's what I'm saying is they've had so many different ownership groups, so many different general managers, and that's the only thing I think is the saving grace with their fans, because you got to give the new people credit. Trust me, I live it with the Cubs. You know what I mean?
we're going through this CLS team thing now, but he's been there 2 years, and they're horrible again this year. They're going to lose 90 to 100 games. But that's the only thing that you have to go by. If it was the same guy running it for the last 10 years, these organizations, then you'd really, really, really want to jump off the bridge.
I think it's time to get rid of Wrigley Field and start fresh. Maybe the Cubs just need a whole new look.
They're putting $500 million into renovating Wrigley. They're not getting rid of it. They need an exorcist to come in there and take care of whatever bad spirits in that place and drive it out.
But if your 100-year-old wife gets plastic surgery, she's still 100 years old.
They need better players. They need better players.
Yeah.
What they need.
Well, they got tons of money.
Think about
why did Soriano go to the Yankees and take off, but with the Cubs he was grounded?
Who knows?
Well, I'm just saying we got to quit saying have another cold beer and wait till next year.
Well, somebody needs to hold them accountable up there and quit going to the games. You know, I mean, people flock like sheep to that place. And like I said, you know, Kenny said the Wrigley Field deal. If that meant winning, they got rid of Yankee Stadium and built a new one. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just throwing it out there. You know, Don, what would Harry Carey say about the cold Budweiser? I mean, you always did that well because you were putting one in your hand. But
that's not my brand.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I really do want to see the hapless Cubs win at some point. I'd love to see the Cleveland Browns become significant. It tears me up. Two things tear me up every year. The Cleveland Browns are better this year, and the Bengals are one of the best teams in the league. It never seems that way.
And FIAC football's good. You're not really big on that. At least not anymore. But yeah,
well, they had an article, and when we were talking with Chris Goodman earlier in the show, Kurt,
he's a good
about an Etheridge article and using the term parody, and I said I sent him Etheridge an email, and I said on a high school level, I'm not sure parody would be the right word, and in this case, I would think mediocrity would be better in the SIAC conference, and I don't mean that. I don't want anybody listening to say I'm putting down their sons. Or the coaching staffs. I'm not. I'm just saying that the level of talent and athletic ability cycle in and cycle out a lot of times on high school, depending on your programs especially. And right now in the SIAC, I don't know that it's really good football. I think it's competitive football, but I think it's because the teams are not – there's no high-level team.
God bless you.
So I'm sorry, but
that's
the way I see it.
Well, that's at least you're being honest about it. But we'll get to the end of the season, and we'll talk about these teams, and then we'll say, well, this team's going to win in the playoffs because they played that tough, competitive Evansville schedule. No, stop it.
And that's
they're
the
not
question
that good,
about
are they, Kurt? They're just not
and that's
that
the
good
question about
there.
About Cathedral in Indianapolis. Everybody's given Cathedral a pass because they play a tough schedule. Don?
Because they do.
They do play that schedule, and they won the state the last 3 years.
I'm asking you, please take a second and listen. Don't get so upset about your Cathedral Irish. Is it they play a good schedule, or is this team maybe not as good as they've been in the past?
I think you're right on both. They play a really tough schedule. They go to St. X and Cincinnati tonight. They've already played Warren Central and Ben Davis. South Bend, St. Joe, and Chittard, who's won in Class 3A the state championship the last 3A, but they're 2-2. Now, they are rebuilding. Their defense is not very good right now, but hopefully as the year goes on, they'll get better. But I'm not saying they're going to win, you know, the state again, but they do play a tough schedule. And
I wasn't putting them down. I was just saying, is it the schedule not as good? And you've answered. It's maybe a combination, and they're still finding themselves. We got 2 minutes, guys. 2 minutes to rant. Kurt, anything you want to throw out there before we end up the show?
Tomorrow, Bloomington, 8 o'clock,
the rubber meets the road in this IU football deal. Missouri comes rolling in there. Good team, not a great Missouri team, but if this IU team is for real, they will find a way to win that ball game tomorrow against Missouri.
Kurt, I agree with you, and I want to rant about one thing that's really starting to irritate me, not irritate, really piss me off. It's the length of these Big Ten school games where they're being shown on the Big Ten Network. I mean, 3.5 to 4.5 hour long games, and tomorrow I'm going to go to the game. It's going to start at 8 o'clock, and it's going to be a 4-hour-plus ordeal because of the way they're doing this. I don't think it's good for the sport. What do you think?
I don't either, because it was always great when you knew IU games were going to start at 1 o'clock every week. But then on the flip side, hardly any games were on TV, and you missed that. But now they're on the Big Ten Network, and that tail wags the dog. But I'm sorry, a 4.5 hour game, that's what's great about the NFL. Those things are slotted at 1 and 4, and no matter what they try to do, they're going to be in that time slot. They've got to find a way to speed those things up, because people just get tired of it. Even at home,
the NFL does a great job of keeping their games to about 3 hours long, and I can tolerate that. But 4 to 4.5 hours is ridiculous, particularly for some of the quality of the football that's being played.
I agree, Don. That's the point I would make. It's not like you're holding this over for a TV game for Notre Dame coming in. I just think IU struggles with attendance anyway. I don't think this helps them at all. Winning will help a little bit. But I think third quarter you're going to see people leaving, packing up, and heading on out the road. I mean, I hope to be up there tomorrow, tailgate a little bit, and possibly see some of the game. But I'll be honest with you. I've got a couple-hour trek home. It's hard to get up there and stay that late and get home.
Well, I agree. It should be a little faster, because these teams are playing faster, but it doesn't equate into shorter games or reasonable length of game.
All right, we're going to be ready to go here. Don, Kurt, thank you. Joe, take us home. Take us into the weekend. Remember the Hoosiers tomorrow. Big game against Missouri. A lot of great high school football games. And I'm waiting. Don, are you tailgating tomorrow?
Absolutely. Be there at 3.
All right, you're tailgating in the same spot. You're not hooking up with anybody else. So
nope.
I know the spot to come to. Coach K will be up there tailgating with Don Schulteis. What's the road that runs by where we tailgate? It's out behind McNutt. What's that little side road?
I can't remember.
I can't either. Joe, take us home, buddy.
Okay, guys, got that. We've got Purdue at Wisconsin. We've got the tonight, if you want to see the night gym of Jasper, they're having the Jasper open house of the new Jasper gym. And also tomorrow at 4:45, also Jasper will be playing Vincennes at the Lucas Oil Stadium. And for Kurt Guxell, for Don Schulteis, for Coach K, I'm Joe Milligan, and we'll see you next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelor & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.